coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
Now, sleep apnea is the most severe form of this condition of airway and oxygen deprivation. And that's when we pause during sleep for 10 to 20 seconds. You count 10 to 20 seconds on your hand. That's what people are doing up to 30 to 40 times a night. And that's your brain in deep distress. And so this is how we increase the risk of Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and mental decline.
Hi, everyone. I'm Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Do you know one of the most important nutrients you need for healthy teeth and a healthy body? Well, when you hear nutrient, you're probably not thinking of oxygen, but oxygen is by far our body's most precious commodity. You simply can't live without it. And duh, any kid in grade school can tell you that. But we all know that even though oxygen is important, what we don't know is many of us are not getting enough of it, especially at nighttime, and that's primarily due to our poor breathing habits. Who would have thought that human beings would have had to be taught how to breathe? But actually, we do. And I'm not talking about yogic breathing or meditation type breathing, which those things are important too. I'm talking about learning to correctly breathe through your nose so you properly create nitric oxide, which is crucial in the oxygenation of our bodies. In this mini episode, I speak with dear friends of mine and dentist, Dr. Stephen Lin and Dr. Mark Brehenna, about how the bad habit of mouth breathing, where you literally are breathing through your mouth at night, especially instead of through your nose, reduces the quality of your sleep, disrupts the balance of our oral microbiome, and makes you more prone to tooth decay, all from breathing from your mouth instead of your nose. Crazy. We discuss sleep apnea and upper airway resistance syndrome. It's a thing, and how it impacts our brain health. All this stuff actually literally impacts our brain because our brain thrives on oxygen, and when we don't get enough of it, our brain's gonna be impacted. We also talk about the benefits of mouth taping, a process where you literally are training your body to now start breathing through your nose instead of your mouth. It sounds creepy, but I've done it and it actually works. So we discuss about mouth taping and more. You're really gonna love this mini episode. So let's listen in, starting with my interview with dentist Dr. Stephen Lin, a world-leading functional dentist based in Australia, TEDx speaker, and author of the international number one best-selling book, The Dental Diet.
So let's talk about nighttime breathing during sleep and what the difference is of breathing through your nose versus breathing through your mouth and what that has to do with our oral health.
Right, yeah. And the theme of this talk we've been having is that, teeth are important. Well, teeth taught me something very, very important about what we need, how we feed our bodies, and that the crucial nutrients, your body will tell you when you're missing in the critical factors, vitamins and nutrients that it needs, the first in the mouth. And the first nutrient that your body needs, you can only go minutes without it, is oxygen. And so in our mouth, we can see when we're not breathing, we're not delivering enough oxygen to our body. And how this translates to our dental health is that, as we mentioned before, when our jaws don't develop properly, so when we have a thin, narrow upper palate, when we have wisdom teeth that don't fit, that's the back of the maxilla and mandible, the upper and lower jaw that don't develop, that is by definition airway space. And so what that does is it pushes us into what I like to call survival breathing. And what happens is that we are designed to breathe through the nose, and there's some very deep physiological reasons for that, in that in the nose we release nitric oxide, which mixes with the air, goes into our lungs and increases blood flow and pushes oxygen right throughout the body. Now, when we have crooked upper teeth and a high palate, we have nasal sinuses that have a lower volume, and we don't breathe through our nose as well as we would when we have nice ancestral wide jaws, lovely wide faces. So what happens is that we learn to breathe through our mouth. And this is delivering cold, unfiltered air that alert our immune system, give us things like swollen tonsils and adenoids. But what happens is that we don't deliver ourselves oxygen. And the most crucial part of this is that the most hungry, the part of your body that requires oxygen the most is the brain. And so when you're not breathing correctly, you're starving your brain of oxygen. And so this can happen through the day. If you're breathing through the mouth 75% of the time, your brain isn't getting enough oxygen. But when you go to sleep, there's one thing you have to do, and that's breathe and deliver your brain oxygen. And the reason for this is that when you go into deep levels of sleep, your brain is depending on your breathing pattern to take your nervous system into this level of sleep that then allows itself to clean out. And so oxygen and breathing patterns are what control that. So if you have a small, crowded mouth with a and you're not comfortable with nasal breathing, you're then pushing your brain into this survival mode during sleep. And so, as you mentioned, sleep apnea. Now, sleep apnea is the most severe form of this condition of airway and oxygen deprivation. And that's when we pause during sleep for 10 to 20 seconds. You count 10 to 20 seconds on your hand. That's what people are doing up to 30 to 40 times a night. And that's your brain in deep distress. And so this is how we increase the risk of Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and mental decline, because we're not giving us our brain opportunity to regenerate and to replenish itself with the crucial nutrient oxygen.
And, you know, what I was sharing earlier in the interview is that we typically think of like the, you know, if anybody has a family member or knows somebody diagnosed with sleep apnea, we typically think of somebody as being usually quite overweight. But one of the things you started noticing and hearing about from some of your colleagues is that there's this whole group of younger men, but especially women, that were coming in with sort of these symptoms of anxiety, like waking up in the morning with anxiety. And tell us how that also relates to this breathing through the nose versus breathing through the mouth.
Absolutely. So when we started to talk about the spectrum of sleep disorders now, we see that obstructive sleep apnea is at the very, very severe end. But what they found in the 90s at Stanford, a researcher called Christian Guillemot found that there was a group of his patients that showed positive results for a mandibular advancement splint, which is a dental sleep device, that weren't diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea. And what he did was he called it a new syndrome called upper airway resistance syndrome. And it's not a recognized medical term yet, but there are many, many studies and lots of research out there showing that people with upper airway resistance syndrome, which is exactly what it sounds like, it's an airway that has more resistance. So upper airway resistance syndrome is characterized by an increased pressure in the airways. And how this happens in the body is that when we sleep, your muscles relax, and that increased pressure is detected by the brain. There's receptors at the back of your throat and in the airways that tell the brain what the airway pressure is. Now, when we have a small bone structure and our muscles relax, what happens is the brain is constantly being sent these pressure signals, and it relates to a choking response. So the brain is then sent into fight or flight response. And so this is a survival response. This is why I call it survival sleep. And so what happens is that your brain will respond by pushing the jaw forward. And so the most common sign of upper airway resistance syndrome is teeth grinding. And we see this in the dental practice, obviously, a lot. But what happens is that people may not even notice that they have this syndrome. You know, they sleep, they wake up, they don't feel that rested. It's because your body doesn't get to reach deep levels of sleep. And so when the brain is in fight or flight, it's in sympathetic mode. It doesn't get to relax. In sleep, you should be going to deep parasympathetic mode to go into REM sleep, which then helps the brain to clean itself out. There's like a dishwashing effect happening in the brain with cerebrospinal fluid washes through the whole brain, clears out all the toxins. And this only happens in deep REM sleep. So if you're not breathing properly, the brain doesn't get that opportunity to go through that self-cleaning process. So what happens is you wake up, you don't feel rested, you feel a bit anxious because your sympathetic nervous system has been activated when it should be deeply rested. Your digestive system doesn't work because the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic nervous system doesn't get activated as it should, and you don't digest well, you get digestive issues. So all of a sudden we see people with these chronic digestive problems and sometimes digestive paralysis. We see them with anxiety, depression. We see them with teeth grinding. We see them with headaches. We see them with aches and pains in joints. And this is all people that will go to have a sleep study. They'll say, "Doc, I'm not sleeping very well. They'll say, well, we'll give you a sleep study. And the results will come back and say they don't have obstructive sleep apnea. That's a polysomnograph. But what they do have is that they'll have respiratory effort arousal periods. And these are called RERAS, RERAS. And so the result will show that they have these arousal periods that are characteristic of upper airway resistance syndrome. And the people at risk of this syndrome as anyone that doesn't have a jaw that's developed 32 teeth. So if you've had braces previously in your life, if you had your wisdom teeth out, if you sleep on your stomach, if you've had any kind of in kids, we see kids mouth breathing through the day and mouth breathing at night. We see bedwetting. We see anyone that's a little bit anxious and don't sleep well. A big thing to watch out for kids are the shadowing under the eyes. They're not sleeping well. That's a big sign this is happening. And this is all a sign, Drew, that we're not sleeping well and the brains are, you know, in really distress for oxygen. And so we need to get back to, one, diagnose the problem, but then get us back to breathing properly. And so there's a whole area of dentistry called myofunctional therapy where we learn to use the tongue and breathe through the nose, and the principles of yoga where we breathe into the diaphragm. And something about the tongue, which is a whole topic on itself, but when your tongue is postured to the roof of the palate, it actually sends parasympathetic nervous system messages back to the brain. And so if you don't have your tongue postured to the palate, then you don't get those messages from the start. And this contributes to this whole oral dysfunction, breathing dysfunction that flows on to a brain that is at risk of Alzheimer's disease. We now have the literature that shows that obstructive sleep apnea significantly increases both Alzheimer's disease and dementia. And the mechanism is quite simple. If you deprive people of oxygen, what do you think is going to happen to their neural cells? They're going to degenerate. And so we now have a population of people that don't breathe right, and it's all seated in our jaws, and we can fix it. The good news is we can fix it now that we understand it. We just need to take the mouth and breathing and the whole body into account.
Hey everyone, it's Drew. I want to give a quick shout out to my new venture pharmacy and our latest product launch, the Pegan Shake. How you start your morning sets the tone for the day. I'm a huge fan of morning routines because I think they can transform your ability to focus, sleep well, and get the most out of your day, especially in this busy modern world. But I often hear from people from this podcast, my friends, who feel like they don't know how to start the day off to set themselves up for success. What I've found is one of the best ways to begin your day is to feed your body the right information or the right nutrients. First, you want to set an intention for the day, practice some mindfulness, but then you want to feed your body the right information and the right nutrients. That's why Dr. Hyman and I created the Pegan Shake in our latest venture, Pharmacy. It's a nutritionally packed morning blend that's designed to support healthy blood sugar, energy, and brain power. It features some of my most favorite brain-boosting foods like MCT and avocado oil. It also features organic acacia fiber for healthy gut function, grass-fed collagen, and organic pumpkin and pea protein to support muscle synthesis. There's never been a shake like this on the market. That's literally why we created it, because we couldn't find anything like it. I think you're going to love it. Check it out at getpharmacy.com. That's G-E-T, pharmacy with an F, pharmacy.com/PeganShake. Now let's get back to today's episode. Have you heard of mouth taping? If you're like most people, the idea of taping your mouth shut while you sleep sounds, well, alarming or something out of a horror movie. But as it turns out, mouth taping might just be the key to a restful night of sleep and so much more. Dr. Mark Brehenna, a practicing sleep medicine dentist in Sunnyvale, California, and author of the number one best-selling book, The 8-Hour Sleep Paradox, talks to us about mouth taping as a solution to mouth breathing and how it can improve our sleep, our overall health, and especially our brain health. When you're talking about people mouth breathing, mm-hmm. So imagine you're sleeping at night, you're mm-hmm. literally talking to somebody who has their mouth open
right.
and is just breathing through there. So mm-hmm. now let's talk about the sort of solution side of it, which is you are somebody who is a big encourager mm-hmm. of mouth taping. Mm-hmm. So tell us exactly, what is mouth taping?
Sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? Yeah. It is, I present it differently now. I would just tell patients, listen, you've got a mouth tape for these reasons. And half of them will take that advice. And the ones that do are typically very pleased. But the other half just won't do it. I use it in my practice as a diagnostic tool, firstly. I want to know if the patient can nose breathe.
Can you actually breathe through your nose? Or yes, right. Is it clogged?
Does the tape stay on? They text me back in a few days. And if the tape stays on all night long and they're peeling it off in the morning, then I know what I'm dealing with when it comes to, you know, treating for sleep apnea and other things. So, but in general, the concept of mouth taping, it's a reminder. It's not creating this impermeable seal that, you know, could frighten people and maybe, you know, they would stop breathing at night. It's not about that. It's a reminder. It is a gentle reminder to keep your lips closed. And there are a lot of people out there that can do that on their own. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was meant to be. When we go to sleep and we're relaxed, all the air coming through our nose and out of our nose should be enough. And there are a lot of advantages of doing that. Breathing through your mouth, though, a lot of us cannot do that. But a lot of us, because we mouth tape, are better at it. And what I tell people is that you may not be good at it at first.
Breathing through your nose.
Right. Breathing through your nose and mouth taping. But push through it, work on it. And at some point, because you start using your nose again, there are a lot of borderline cases. I would say most of us are borderline. Then, you know, you're pushing warm air past the nasal sinuses again, the mucosa there. You're building a biome, a nasal biome. You are creating less edema. You're going to get less of a histaminic response when you come across an allergen like pollen, but it takes time. But if we stop using our nose to breathe, well, we're not getting the nitric oxide. We're not production. We're not getting filtration, humidification of the air. There's a temperature gradient between breathing air in through the nose as opposed to the mouth for the lungs. And I would think that we would want to keep that, you know, I mean, at a healthy level, right? I mean, you don't want to, and also we dehydrate more often. We can lose up to a liter of water by mouth breathing. So if you're feeling dehydrated, I would look at if your mouth is open a lot. Now, of course, I'm not talking about talking and eating and all that, but at nighttime, the mouth should be closed. And the tape is a great reminder.
And you're not talking about packing tape or anything like that. There's actually specific mouth tape.
No duct tape. Yes.
No duct tape.
Right, right.
So people who get scared when they first heard the idea, like, oh my gosh, like, am I going to like die in my sleep?
Right. Yes.
It's not anything like that.
Right.
It's strong enough to maintain a closure in the mouth, but it's weak enough that if you forced it, you could just force it off very easily, even if you were sleeping.
It would come off and just so easily with just an opening of the mouth, it would come off.
So fundamentally, first and foremost, and I think this is just an important thing to say again, is that it's a tool to see, can you breathe the way that we were evolutionarily designed to breathe?
Yes.
And if you can't, now let's dig in a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. I had a dear friend of mine who was waking up in the morning with just severe heart palpitations. She would wake up in the morning. She had severe heart palpitations. There was all this anxiety. She would text me in the morning sometimes and say, like, I just feel super anxious, everything like that. And it's right around that time, my dear friend, Stephen Lin, sent me a bunch of resources, including some of your resources and other stuff, and said, great, you know, because we just happened to be talking. He's a past guest on the podcast. And he said, you know, you should just really, I overheard you talking about that. We were at a conference together. You should really look into this area. Like, does she breathe at night with her mouth open? I know this sounds crazy because she eats healthy, she's fit, everything like that. But this severe anxiety could be that when oxygen is not properly regulated at night and she's breathing through her mouth, it basically never lets her nervous system feel like she's fully at rest.
Right.
So she's in fight or flight the whole night, wakes up and immediately feels this sort of extreme anxiety. Have you heard that example from patients
in
the past?
I have many patients that are that way. And they do wake up in a panic and their blood pressure is elevated, not just from the fight or flight, but from the acidosis from in the bloodstream. From, you know, mouth breathing means you're going to snore more often. I mean, you're pulling in a lot more air past the small airway. If it comes through the nose, it's baffled, it slows down, it's warmed. And as it gets pulled past the airway, less of it's coming through at that one time. And that's less likely to pull it closed. That's the Bernoulli principle, essentially. So there, yes, absolutely. It's in kids is even more phenomenal. ADD, ADHD, cavity rates that are just sky high, And they're the ones that are developing and growing. So breathing through your mouth while your face is developing, that's a big deal, because that is what you're set with for life in terms of your facial type. If you don't grow properly here for up to age 10, the box, I call it the box, the nasal box, the airway box, those all tend to be squashed and made to be much smaller. So, and remember, kids don't develop their sinuses until age 4. Can you imagine being mouth breathing all those years and then the sinus comes online? Well, it's not going to feel needed. So why develop to its full potential? Because the kid is breathing through their mouths.
It's almost like them being in like a wheelchair, not using their legs.
Exactly.
And their legs develop some level of atrophy and they don't end up being used.
Yes.
And that's happening from a breathing standpoint.
Right.
And if that continues the rest of their life, that can lead to all sorts of challenges, as we were sharing earlier.
Yes.
Speaking of kids, we have a mutual friend, Mike Mutzel, who was a past guest on this podcast.
Great guy, yes.
We talked about keto and other things like that. And recently he shared how, you know, you've been a big inspiration by him deciding to mouth tape their daughter.
Yes.
And he's been pretty open about that on social media and everything like that. So I don't think we're sharing any information that he wouldn't want to be shared. But, you know, when a parent is thinking about how to support the muscle of breathing for their child, what are some of the signs that they should be looking for? Is it as simple as, hey, is my, you know, going to my kid's room at night, are they breathing through their mouth? Or are they breathing through their nose?
Right. That's exactly it. That's the first thing I'll say. You have to kind of sneak into your kid's room when they're asleep and find out whether that mouth is open or closed. Most parents know. It's one of the first things I ask, even before I see the child or the oral cavity. I mean, there are all sorts of signs that the child is mouth breathing other than the fact of seeing their mouth open all the time. I mean, you can watch them while they're watching TV or studying. That certainly is doable. You know, I mean, boogers, lots of snot coming out of the nose. I mean, you know, if they can't breathe through their nose, if they have allergies all the time, that's a dead giveaway. Posture is a big thing. The difference between nasal breathing and mouth breathing has an effect on all these cervical bones, and pulling in air, for example, past the nose. I mean, the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus is there. Those organs can probably see light. That would affect the circadian rhythm of the child. Is the child spinning in bed? I mean, it's a lot of it's related to sleep apnea. Are they snoring? It's this one big multifactorial package that you have to look at, and mouth breathing is part of it. But the number one way to do that is exactly what you said. You got to sneak in and sit there. So I recommend that parents take their Kindle in there, not their phone, because that's blue light, may wake up the kid, and just sit there for 15, 20 minutes. If there's a chair in the room, that's great. If you're leaning up against the back of the bed, you can hear it. You don't even have to see it. And I would do that often. Now, obviously, if they have a cold, that's a different story. But when they're not sick and they don't have a cold, make sure your child is breathing through their nose at all opportune moments. That would not be during exercise, not if they had a cold, and eating and talking, and that would be it. Mouth breathing is an emergency state. We mouth breathe because we just need to bring in more air. Our normal state is breathing, exhaling, and inhaling through the nose.
And when it comes to actually getting mouth tape, and let's say with kids, keeping down that storyline, and we want to implement it and start using with them, just walk us through that. What type of, are all mouth tapes equal? Do people just go on Amazon?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when they get it, so how do they begin? And do you have any tips on sort of explaining it to kids?
Right. You know, I don't hesitate telling parents to mouth tape, but most parents will hesitate mouth taping their children. There's something called vertical taping, where you can just tape in a vertical mode. That way, the sides of the mouth are open. There's a special tape that I recommend, which I'll mention. But I do have a lot of patients that tape between the ages of like 1.5 to age 8 or 9. And the story I like to tell is this one kid who started at age 2, and he had these nightmares. And the mother, maybe about 2 years later, a year and a half later, the mother said, Johnny, you know, his name is not Johnny, tell him what you told me. And he turned to me and he told me the story. It was not just a comment. It was a long story about his dreams were getting better. And he loves mouth taping, and he gets upset when his mom doesn't have it for him. And so I hear a lot of stories like that, from improvement of dreams. I'm not sure how that works, but fewer cavities is a big one. I have a lot of kids that have a high rate of decay. We've identified that they are mouth breathing, and we tell the parents, listen, you can spend $2,000 to $4,000 fixing just baby teeth. deciduous teeth, which I hesitate to do because that's a traumatic experience for a child, typically. It's stressful. Or you can just, let's stop this right now. And so there's some diet management counseling going on, but mouth taping is the big one. That is a big factor in decay. I've seen it firsthand.
And what's the relationship between cavities and breathing?
Or breathing through your mouth. So, you know, the mouth is this, has this incredible biome, just like the gut, right?
Yeah, the bunch oral of bacteria.
Exactly. It's finally come online. I'm very excited to read about it now. And it's basically just the headwaters or the first stop on this long train line with many stations and of bacteria. And the mouth, of course, is a little different than the gut. But, you know, there's this sensitive population of bacteria in the mouth. And one of the things that will turn it into a dysbiotic kind of environment, which you've heard that term before with the gut, it can happen in the mouth. There are many ways of doing that. One of the major ways is by, just as in the gut, is by changing the pH. When you mouth breathe and your mouth becomes dry and the saliva is not present, the pH drops. That is easily measurable, measured. We've known this for a long time. But what it does in the mouth is it allows the decay rate to increase for a variety of reasons. It's lack of saliva and the buffering of the saliva. But the saliva has phosphorus in it and calcium and hydroxyapatite. It has all these ingredients that are required to keep the tooth remineralizing faster than it's demineralizing. Teeth are like bones. They just have a shiny outer shell, but they are dynamic. They're always changing. And a few weeks of very dry mouth, that equilibrium will switch over to the demineralization side, and then you'll start seeing the decays, the decay and the carious lesions forming on the teeth. And no dentist, no parent should ever underestimate what that's going to cost you in terms of just talking about cavities, not about airway development or facial development, just that alone.
So here's the thing. The truth is, yes, exercise is important. And yes, our diet is important. But if we're not getting the fundamental benefits of sleep every night through breathing right, then our physical and mental health are going to suffer. Our oral health really is the gateway to our overall health. And I hope you got that big idea from listening to today's episode. Thank you for tuning into this mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you again next week. As always, if you enjoy this episode, share it with a friend or leave a review. I read a lot of them and I'd love to see yours. Whether you love it or hate it, please leave a review. See you next week.